Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Dusty White, and I'm here with Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we've been sitting down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about Chris Hemmelman's farewell address.
Not as important as Jesus's farewell, but we'll take it.
Yeah, so I should start, of course, by reminding listeners that in February, March, your last episode of the Wednesday Conversation will be February 18th, and then we're going to take a break and come back in April with new and improved enhanced Wednesday Conversation approach.
Yeah, you guys are going to be joining the latest and greatest fads of podcasting and video casting and all this.
Hopefully it goes well and you can say, yeah, that was a startup when I was there.
Yeah, yes. Hey, you always like to leave something better than you found it. So if you guys, if it's better, I can always say, hey, I was on the ground level of this incredible podcast that just goes viral and big and all the things.
Award-winning podcast.
Yes, yes.
So Chris, we're going to chat. You and I have talked a little bit off mic about this, but we're going to talk a little bit about just the journey of how you got here. And then also just some personal reflections from you, if you're willing.
And yeah, absolutely.
We'll just see where this goes. So let's start a little bit high level with church planting residency and things like that. So right out of the gate, I'm just curious, like, okay, you're getting ready to move. You're getting ready to, in some sense, sunset your leadership at First City Church, move to this new church. What would you say to the guy who really wants to plant a church, but isn't sure if he should, or like, it's just kind of a dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't make that decision in isolation. And that may just seem very basic and don't make such, just like you wouldn't make a decision, hopefully, to marry someone or spend an inordinate amount of money or any big decision. You know, you want to be doing that in community, but it's not just conversation. I think you definitely need to be in a context in a church where you can be developed, where you can grow as a leader. I once told guys, like, training and development, especially with church planning, you should look for people who are going to go deep. And that takes time. Depending on where you are in life and ministry, it may take 5 years. It may take 2 years. But just some level of development that's going to allow you to test call and to be trained. And you need to do that in a place people are going to love you well and support you well, but will also tell you things that you don't want to hear, that, hey, you need to mature in this, or, hey, your skill in whether it be preaching or leadership is deficient and it needs to be, you need to grow in those things. So go to a place that's going to faithfully develop you and train you and allow you to test. I'm thankful for, I mean, this first happened when we were in Arlington, and our pastor, he's like, hey, would you be interested in doing a internship, 18-month internship, to test your call to pastoral ministry and just kind of see where the Lord would lead? And it's a risk there, because I was quitting a job, and we didn't know on the other side of that internship if I was going to have to go find another job or if it was going to lead to ministry. So there is and it didn't have to be, I'm not saying a guy has to do full-time intern to do that, but there is a bit of a risk. You're going to have to do that. But I'm so thankful at that early stage in my ministry journey to be in a church that embraced that training, but then also being around men in a church community that were going to really challenge that and press into that in some really healthy ways. So get into a church that has a DNA of development, of caring about, not that you go plant a church, but you're going to plant a healthy church, that they're going to develop you both skill and at the level of heart, because all of that really matters, and then take the time necessary.
That's good. I'm just curious, what were some of the things that you wouldn't have known about yourself had you not been in what you just described?
Yeah. So, I always loved theology. I was a teacher. So being able to communicate publicly, like those things, and had to grow in some of that. But those were things that were kind of like, okay, you've got the chops for that kind of thing. But it was interesting jumping from a teaching context to kind of ministry, because as a teacher, it's very structured. Mm-hmm. You kind of have your own little corner of the kingdom within a school. It's like, here's my classroom. And your cares and kind of your focus is pretty small in some ways. And you, it isn't like you can be a good teacher and not necessarily a good leader. You can be good at classroom management, but not necessarily a good leader. And I think you have to care about things in certain ways. And so it really stretched me to see, hey, good leaders have a bigger rubber band and a bigger sense of like what they care about and what they have to take initiative towards. Mm. Those were some early conversations where I remember the pastor there, his name's Eric Simmons. He'd be like, hey, you got to care more than just about your classroom now.
Yeah.
Like you have to expand that. And so I think that was a big thing. And then taking initiative and kind of starting things from scratch. Like I could do that at the level of write a curriculum. So at the level of content, but when you're starting with people and trying to move people, not just in knowledge, but in task, in kind of organizational development and systems, those were things I really had to learn to grow in. And I remember I had at one point kind of later in my internship, I got tasked with running the church retreat.
Yeah.
So the church was at the size where we could do a whole church retreat. It wasn't just a men's or women's. And it was, hey, you're going to oversee this. You're going to have to quarterback the different pieces, whether it's the content or the activities, and you need to delegate and just kind of think of. And so it was the first time I had taken on that level of project with that many moving pieces. Now I'd done some stuff. I directed a couple of plays when I was teaching high school, and there was some of that involved, but this was a new scale. And that was a good exercise in having to stretch some of those muscles. I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like I really didn't. I was like, I'm not a retreat. I'm not an event planner. I'm not this, but I had to embrace the exercise because it was a good exercise, the skills that were necessary. So that, maybe that's another thing too, is be willing to do things in ministry that you might not want to do because you need to develop some of those muscles.
Yeah. And somebody's got to do it.
Yes.
So you got to at least have knowledge of what's going on there.
Yeah.
So you came into Cormdale before planting First City over a decade ago, mm-hmm. As a resident, and were pretty gracious to Cormdale with that because we didn't really know what we're doing. Yeah. I mean, we had some glorified interns. We had some, you know, air quotes residents here and there. But it was always different. And mm-hmm. so you came into that, stepped into that. Willing, ready, eager to learn. So we now have, at least at Cormdale, a more formal residency program with that category of leader in mind. What's one piece of counsel that you would give to somebody kind of considering that opportunity?
Yeah. So if we're talking about a residency, I think Mindy has a great analogy. She said, if you're going to do a residency, you should at least be engaged with church planting, like where you know, hey, I've decided, I'm not there yet and there's still some development, but I've decided, I've committed to this. Because if you're still exploring, I don't know if a residency is a good place to explore.
Yeah.
I think a residency is the place where you're at minimum engaged, you're going that direction, you need some development. And of course the Lord can do some things, maybe some things, unexpected stuff gets exposed and you're like, oh, I'm actually not ready to do this. But there should be a level of commitment in order to move forward to that. So having a process by which you've clarified, you've been developed to a certain degree, and then that residency becomes, whether you want to call it a finishing school or whatever you want to call it, but that it's, we're headed this way.
Yeah.
Because if there's still question, like significant question, I don't know if a residency is quite as helpful.
Yeah.
And can actually even be frustrating to some degree. So, I mean, I think of my residency at Cormdale, like I came in with pretty clear call, pretty clear conviction to plant. Mm-hmm. That was the intent. And we did our Acts 29 assessment early to just get that clear. And so once that was clear, I mean, it's like the second month we were here.
Yeah.
And then it became about the development and preparation. And then, you know, the discernment where we switched directions instead of going to Des Moines, going to Bellevue. But because that piece was clear, like before we came, but then crystallized and clear on your guys' end, because you didn't know me yet. And so, but the fact that that happened very early, it just allowed for that direction to go. So get that clarity before you jump into a residency.
I think that's a good word. And I had forgotten about that until you just said it, but getting that assessment stuff done on the front end, because it really helps with the trajectory, the culture building, all of, even the support, all of it.
Yes. Right? Yeah. So. Yeah. Cause there's so much work to getting ready to plant that if you're doing that with just this big question mark hanging over it, it you're never going to give yourself fully to it. You're never going to you even step into kind of the confidence and sense of call to the degree you need to. And I don't want to knock guys that have done it that way, where maybe there was more question and they started a residency, but having seen that play out in some ways where a residency kind of played out with some questions and just, man, we could have served the guy better. The residency could have been more effective if that had been nailed down, like coming into it.
That's good. It's a good word. All right. Time capsule back with me 10 years ago. What would you tell the Chris Himmelman who planted First City?
Yeah.
If you could go back and have a chat with him.
Man, that's such a great question. I think a couple things. I think one, take more risks. I mean, church planting is risky and you want to be thoughtful and you want to be careful, but I think I would have taken more risks with some folks earlier. And I say that and they kind of connect to the next piece where you need to start leadership development way sooner than even you think you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
because good. You are going to need a lot of hands. And you're going to need leaders. You don't just need people to get tasks done. You need leadership support. And good leaders take time to develop. And so you want to start that early. And I think if I were to say, okay, young Chris Himmelman, what you want to do is you want to find that place where you're taking risks on people to develop them, but you're investing a lot of time in leadership development so that you can start to build that trust, build their categories out so you can start delegating sooner. Mm. Because it's very easy, especially early in a church plant, just to say, well, I'll just do that because it's going to take me time to get this person calibrated to where I can fully trust their categories. It's just easier for me in the short term to just do it myself.
Yeah.
But in the longer term, you end up just doing much more than you need to. You're holding on to things longer than you should be. So really starting that leadership development early, investing a lot of time in that early, which again means that there are going to be some people where you might see a ceiling in some, or a high ceiling in some ways because of just their initiative or just other things, but maybe it still has a little bit of a risk. Start that risk early.
That's a good word. Like I'm not planting a church right now, but if I was, I could see doing exactly what you're talking about, which is like delayed delegation, delayed collaboration.
Yes.
I'm very much like, I don't know, let me do it. And then I'll hand it off, you know?
Yeah.
And what I hear you saying is like, no, you got to start sooner because you're going to build things, do things, and then nobody's going to be along for the ride. And I've actually, when I've chatted with some pastors, I'm like, dude, you need some help, you know, like quit doing it all. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to care about that.
And what can happen is you get to a place, a crisis point, and then you have to, you're almost like, well, I got to put some leaders in. And then you put people in that maybe aren't right or ready. And then you have a bigger problem. And so if you're starting sooner, longer on ramp in some ways, you're trying to avoid those later kind of crisis of and lack of leadership. Because it's a difference between having people who will go do things and people can actually lead. And so I think of when we planted with two elders. And some of our challenges, you know, being in a military context, we saw guys who had elder potential leave early in the
gone
church.
In 18
where,
months.
Yeah, where if they'd have been around longer, maybe we would have installed some elders sooner. But we didn't get our first, we didn't get our third elder in place until, let's see, 6 years in, which, again, I look back on that. I'm like, it should have been sooner and it could have been sooner if I had thought through some stuff, but there's also, you know, we got the right person in and you want to care about that leadership, but to avoid the crisis leadership position where you're, so you just need more time for that.
I even think about that now with our church and like just the scalability. You know, we have this kind of slow, steady growth, which means slow, steady additions to staff. And like, that's just all part of it.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And again, there's good in that, but for that to, I think to maximize the slow, steady, you got to start earlier.
Yeah. That's good. I'm convicted about this.
Yeah.
Well, come on, Chris.
There are things that I'm going to, you know, have to take these lessons to, my new context as well, where there, you know, there's good leaders there and there's a need for more elders. Like I'm going into the situation with some solid dudes, but I've already had the conversation with the elder. We need more. And so that's one of the things that I want to prioritize early is like, okay, how are we thinking about development? How can we start to move guys who show qualification now and aptitude now into that? Cause I don't know how long it's going to take,
right?
But I don't want to sit around and wait for a crisis to happen where we have to move guys more quickly than we should.
That's good, man. I love it. Hey, let's talk about a few favorites. Let's get, you know, not to get too nostalgic or anything, but let's get a little nostalgic. What's your favorite kind of season of the Wednesday conversation, or maybe a favorite rant that you might have, maybe a favorite argument you had with Bob or something like that?
Yeah. I think I realize, because I've had people give me feedback. It's like, I love it when you and Bob argue more, because we think so much alike about most things that when you do find those places where it's different, our disagreement of interpretation related to what it meant that Jesus, you know, did in First Peter, did he, you know, go into hell?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, like how you interpret that? Or
what's it mean that he descended to the dead?
Yeah. Or are some of our conversations about baptism once kind of became in the Pado Baptist camp, even though, you know, we don't practice it at First City, but you know, those little kind of side shots to each other or, I don't know. What else have we debated?
When I was writing down this question, I was thinking like, well, surely you're going to say Bob Inc.
Well, that was absolutely no love doing that. I mean, I think one of my favorite moments is the infamous butt strip comment where we couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes. I think about that. I'll say this, doing this podcast for the past, well, I guess 11 years, 10 years, however long it's been, the first doing it when I was part of the staff at Corumdale, but then since we've planted, it has been it's a highlight for me, because what I've loved is it's at least two times a month I was coming over here, hanging out with you guys, getting time with you guys. And that I loved it. Even some, times I'd come over and I'm like, okay, I haven't really prepared or I've got a lot of other things to do, but it was just, I know I'm going to just get time with you and Bob and, you know, when it was Mike and then it was Bethany. And so it was always just a highlight of my month, the couple weeks. And so I'm just very, very grateful that, we continue to do this and was, you know, hey, stay on it even after we planted. And so there was the joy in doing the podcast, but there was also just a ton of joy just being with you guys, on that. And I think it's benefited me in ministry because, you know, it's not like every time I came over, I was like spilling or ranting, but we've had some really good conversations before and after about, you know, stuff with ministry. And so I felt connected to you all as our sending church, but also felt like, you know, at least two times a month, I've got some good brothers that I'm going to, if I need to vent, you know, I can. So that has been a part of, you know, what I'll cherish as well. But Bob Inc. And then, you know, when we became a fertility podcast.
Oh my.
And even the places we've recorded, the different.
Can't get some things back.
Yeah. And always kind of joking when you're like, okay, Bob's going to get emails about that one. And I'm actually surprised we didn't get more emails about the gun one, unless that didn't.
Yeah. I had some side conversations about it, but no, I mean, maybe Bob got the emails. Who knows?
He just kind of kept them from
podcast
us,
at CD. Yeah.
I was for sure thought, you know, some of the folks at First City were going to write in and let me tell you about the Second Amendment, Bob.
I'll have to find your new email. I'm going to need your new email address so that we can start ending the conversation with. If you have disagreements here, Chris would love to take those up with you, even though he wasn't on the podcast.
Yeah. Chris at Sojourn Woodstock.
There it is.
So there you go.
Okay. So not Wednesday conversation related, but just kind of like snapshot over the last decade of ministry, you know, plus or minus a year or two in there. What's just been like a real beautiful season of ministry for you, or one of your kind of favorite seasons?
Yeah. Is it weird if I say COVID?
No.
Yeah.
No. As an introvert, I would expect.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
To
no kidding. Yeah. I was thinking about some of the things about COVID that I liked, and this might be a weird thing to say because it's good to have expectations and it's good that you want people, but it felt like there was less pressure for people to show up on Sunday mornings, even though we were doing everything we could to get people. But because it wasn't like, oh, the attendance was this and then it was this, just less concern about that. It was just, we were just happy that people were in the room. But the thing that was, that I loved about that season, as I look back, is our staff was slowly growing at that time. We added a couple of staff members. It was in 2021. So we were still kind of in COVID, but is when Paul started on staff. So there was this growing dynamic, and there was just such a fun sense of, hey, we're pivoting, we're flexible, we're constantly problem solving, we're trying to think of ways to do ministry. So there's a ton of creativity that came out of that, that really bore fruit after we got out of that and developed a culture within our staff of flexibility and good conversation, but also how do you have that flexibility while maintaining who you are? And so we really clarified through that season, this is what we're about. These are the essential things, how we think about particular ministries. And so there was ways in which the Lord used that to bear fruit, even as we were kind of getting back to normal operations in some ways, that define more clearly defined who we are and the joy that just there was within staff working through that together, tons of unity. So it was hard. There were things about it that I do not want to go back to at all, but very grateful for that. I would also say so I went on sabbatical in 2022. 2023 was a very sweet year. There was some growth in the church. I got to do a lot of coaching with church planters that year. I think it kind of bore fruit of doing assessments with Acts 29 for a number of years and just kind of building relationships and offering to coach. And so that was a really sweet year. And I think it was the year where I just kind of got comfortable in my own skin as a pastor and just sort of said, I know who I am. And I still want to grow, but some of the old insecurities were gone.
Yeah.
Some of the just confidence in the Lord was just there. And so I look back at 2023 as a really sweet season and just kind of where we were as a church. And then at the end of that year is when I tore my calf muscle.
Oh.
and then we got into 2024, which it was some good stuff, but it was a harder year in some ways. And then I guess 2025 was the year that it was where we making a decision to transition. So those are some sweet seasons.
Hey, I'm curious, Mindy, what are you asking the Lord for kind of the most in prayer right now during this transition, during this season?
Yeah. Great question. So I think on the one hand with First City, and as we're, kind of coming to the end of our time here, just continuing to pray that we can be fully present, that we don't let just all the activity of moving and shifting cause us to miss just the moments that we have left. I was out to lunch yesterday with a friend who's in the military, not in our church, but in the military. And once he retires in a year and a half, he's going to be getting into full-time ministry. And so he's moved a lot. And he told me, he goes, hold on to the moments longer than the time that you have before you move, just hold on to them. Be purposely more present.
That's good.
Don't be quick to move on from, the conversation, the party, the things, because you'll really want to do that. And so that was a good word. And so just being able to do that and not get distracted by all the things we have to do to move. Because there's just been so many emotions and so many just reminiscing on the different things. And this occurred to me a couple weeks ago at our last members meeting at First City all of this has just been about countless moments over the past 10 years of conversations and time spent and situations where you're with people that doesn't seem spectacular, it just seems normal and ordinary and mundane, but it's all built to just deep relationships and fruitfulness in ministry. And so I want to just appreciate all that. And so just prayers for that. I think that will lend itself and be important for us to transition out well. And then getting down there, would love prayer for an ability to move intentionally slow. So like be intentional with the things that need to happen and the work that needs to be done, but not to get caught up in such the activity and flurry and the excitement and expectations that people have, which, they're not bad expectations, but a reminder that what matters here is the relationship, is the building the community and the trust and spending time with people and being present with people. The organizational stuff is important and it will come and there'll be time for that. But I think Mindy and I just feel this burden of, we want to just be with people, take time to get to know people, spend time with people. And building relationships and friendships when you're in your mid-40s, now starting to head to my late 40s.
Yeah, that's different.
It's different than when you're younger. And so I think I'm not, you know, if I'm honest, there's a little bit of trepidation. Like,
yeah, sure.
These are people who've been in community and relationship. They have, this is all established. And yeah, as a pastor, pastor's wife, you get access and people want to welcome you in, but there's no guarantee of any of this, you know, it's so just that the Lord would open those doors for good relationships and that we would trust him with that. And then a lot of discernment. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be vying for my attention. There's going to be a lot of expectations people are going to have and things they want me to give my time to. So just the wisdom of not letting that get, you know, shape and get all consuming, but to say, no, okay, I want to take a step back. What are the things that need to be done? Taking the long game and good discernment with that.
Man, that's all really good stuff. Thanks for going there with us. And man, I just want to say, I think I could say this pretty safely on behalf of every listener who's especially been listening for a long time. Dude, thanks. Thanks for contributing here. Thanks for not just coming here, being on staff here, planting a church out of here, being a great, faithful pastor for the last 10 years at First City. But also, you wouldn't have had to keep doing this. Like, you could have said, I'm cashing it in, guys. Yeah. I'm all in at First City, and I'm not, to your point earlier, like, no, I don't have time or space or margin to keep coming over here for the Wednesday conversation. So I realize that there's been moments where I've taken that for granted. And so thanks for making this a part of your life and your ministry, because it's huge. And I know that the listeners love it. And especially when you argue with Bob in places that I don't, you know, so like, that's good. So thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It has been a joy and a privilege and an honor to be able to do this. And I'm going to miss it. I'm absolutely going to miss it. And if any of our listeners happen to bump into me, even post my life on the Wednesday conversation, still let me know you listen, because this is a dear part of my ministry history and experience. And so it's not as if I'm going to, oh yeah, that podcast. Yeah. No, it's like, this is very meaningful. And I'm for sure going to keep listening. Just to
good
hear,
to know.
You know, what you guys are talking about. And I will try to send some snacks now and again,
Come on,
just to let you know, hey, I'm still listening and still staying connected. So
some Woodstock snacks.
Yeah. I'll see what I can find to send your way. If something will travel in the mail, well, to give you partake of, some Georgia snacks.
Well, man, I'm grateful. And I want to just close this podcast out by praying for you and for Mindy, for First City, and for Sojourn Woodstock. So I'm going to pray, and then that'll be a wrap. Lord, we're grateful. Thanks for the Hemelmans and their work in this part of the country. And as they get ready to go to another part of the country, would you go before them? And would you prepare both First City for what is next for them here? And would you prepare Sojourn Woodstock for what you have for them with Chris and Mindy coming to them? And we do pray these things that Chris was mentioning, that he would be present all the way out with First City, that he would be able to be intentional to the advice of his friend, to just really soak in these last few days. And that when they get there, you would give them really good discernment. You're calling them and asking them to be a part of this new church and lead it to the next thing. And that's going to take wisdom, discernment, conversation, help them to go slow and to build good, thick, meaningful friendships and relationships. Would you bless them with that? And so we are grateful and we send them in the name of the Lord. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thank you for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. And we always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.